so the new album, The Guessing Game, just came out in Europe a few days ago, and it's taken a month to come in the U.S. What is the reason behind this, like, almost huge delay?
I really don't know. I guess it's just the way that companies work over in the States and over here, I suppose. I really don't know the full story on that one. I mean, there has been times in the past when the difference has been in delay has been a lot longer. You know, there's been times when we've done albums before that came out in Europe and they came out in America like 4 or 5 months later, back in the 90s and stuff.
Yeah, when you were... Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Because we saw the huge difference, and are you guys not concerned about the piracy and everything that might happen in between?
Yeah, well, it's already happened. It's a pain in the ass, but what can you do about it, you know? I mean, the thing is, I don't have such a problem with that, other than the thing that I find more annoying about leaks and stuff like that, blogs and stuff, is that people who put them up there don't have any...
And in your opinion, what do you think that labels could do to kind of counter this?
I don't know, it's hard to say. I mean, I'm still a person who likes having a product in my hand, you know. I still like the artwork and I like packaging. For me, MP3s are pretty crap things. I mean, they're just invisible sound files as far as I'm concerned. I still like having vinyl and CDs. As for what record labels can do about it, I don't know. You can't stop this happening, I don't think. You could maybe close down some of the bigger sites like Rapid Share or something like that, but there's still going to be other file sharing software or something. People will still be able to do this, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's kind of hard to say. I think there should just be better ways of dealing with it as opposed to just trying to shut people down. Basically, the governments have left it too late. You know, people just don't want to pay for music anymore. And it's like, when younger kids have had music for free for the last, like, 10 years, why should they all of a sudden be expected to pay for it? The government should have acted on this a lot sooner. But having said that, you know, I'm not against file sharing 100%, because I think there's some really good aspects to file sharing, especially if you consider, you know, probably there's now more people than ever listening to underground music because of the accessibility of it. I think there are some positive things to it. The only things I don't like I say, is like records getting leaked before the release date. I think if you're a person like me, you'll want to have the product in hand as well. You want to have the CD, you want to have the vinyl or whatever. I think it would be a great advancement if it was possible to reduce the price of the product, you know, reduce the price of CDs and reduce the price of vinyl to encourage more people to buy it. I mean, I think you're living in an age now where in years to come, you know, music from this period is not going to be collectible. And being a record collector and stuff, I've always, like, found extreme pleasure in holding a record sleeve in my hand and pulling out the record and putting it on a turntable. You know what I mean? That still gives me a buzz. But I guess I'm in the minority. Mm-hmm. I mean, I run my own record label, Rise Above Records, and we're still an underground label, but we're doing fine. You know, last year was the best sales we've ever had, believe it or not. So I think it's going to hit the bigger labels more so than the smaller ones. Piracy, well, it already has, hasn't it? You know?
Yeah.
The major labels that get hit harder, I think, because I think more underground labels, the kids are more dedicated to the music, so they might download it. A few of the kids might download it, but I think essentially if they're into the music enough, they'll want to buy the CD or the album, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, but I mean, I think we think that metalheads are pretty good about still buying albums compared to people in other music scenes.
Well, I don't care about R&B, hip-hop, and soul, stuff like that. Commercial, major label music. I mean, it's the major labels that are responsible for this happening in the first place, you know?
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. They just unleash a lot of shit music on the world and you know, make it on sale in the most ridiculous kind of supermarket, like really cheap prices. So they've outpriced the smaller record shops,
yeah.
Made the record shops close down, and now it's, you know, so labels like smaller labels have suffered because of their stupidity and their greed. They're only getting what's what they deserve, really, major labels, if you ask me.
Yeah, in some way. So, I mean, just going back to the album, then, now, The Guessing Game was 5 years in the making. Can you tell us about a little bit more about the process that happened in between?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, 5 years is a long time. I won't deny that. It doesn't seem like it's 5 years ago, though. That's the weird thing. I mean, if you consider that Cathedral's been together for 20 years,
yeah,
now, that's like a quarter of our existence, really, between the last album and this one. What basically happened within that time was, you know, we did the promotion for the Garden album, we did some touring and did what we needed to do for like a year and a half or something. And then I think we decided we wanted to take a break from the band just to reassess, you know, where we thought it was going, really. And after all this time, you know, we didn't want to make any false moves or bad moves. We just wanted to be 100% sure that we were going to be satisfied with the music we were making, and if we were to make another record, we wanted to make sure it was the right thing to do, because what you record is what you leave behind, you know?
Yeah.
So about 2.5 years ago, after having a bit of a break, I just called up my guitarist Gary and told him to come down to London with his guitar, and we started writing some new stuff about a year and a half ago. But in the space of 1 year, he only came down here probably about five or six times. And we'd record stuff on the cassette and just go away with it for a couple of months and just sit down and let the songs, the ideas sink in, and then try and expand on them. That's what we did. And we wrote a whole album's worth of material back then in that first year, which we ended up scrapping all of it, starting again. In fact, you got an animal there.
Excuse me?
I can hear, is there an animal noise or something?
Oh, no, I have like a terrible cough, I'm trying to suppress it.
Oh, sorry, I thought you sounded like a bird or something.
No, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no, sorry, it's cool. So yeah, we had like a whole album's worth of stuff that was more in the vein of our first album. It's more like really slow, more extreme, oppressive, like doom metal, really.
Yeah.
And after coming up with that stuff, you know, we were into it. We kind of thought, well, what's the point in kind of treading on old ground at the minute, you know? I mean, it's stuff we might record in the future, but there's a whole album worth of stuff there we didn't record. So we just started again from scratch. And we decided, you know, why don't we just make the album we always wanted to make? And we had, like, a decent enough budget off the record company to make the album we wanted to make. And so we started writing on the new stuff, and I think it was about this time last year, it was March 2009, we had enough material together for me and Gary to take to the other guys in the band. And that's when we started rehearsing properly for the album. So in a nutshell, that's what's happened in the last 5 years.
And I mean, how do you envision all those different elements that you guys use in the music whenever you're writing the songs?
It's kind of hard to answer that one. I mean, when I hear like a basic structure of a song, in my head I can see the potential of how it's going to be once it's recorded properly, you know. But it's not until it's recorded properly that it actually realises its full potential, even though I know that it's going to sound a certain way very early on. I mean, the first song, Funeral of Dreams, for instance, that turned out exactly how I imagined it to. But, I mean, in rehearsals, you know, it was quite different because it was a lot more stripped down and a lot more raw. We added all the kind of extra elements to the song in the studio, but they're kind of things that are in my head, but like I say, it's not until they're actually recorded properly that they actually come to life. You know, for this album, we wanted it to be varied, but there was no kind of deliberate attempt for it to be a specific way. It became an obsession when we were writing it, you know, to make sure that everything that we did on there, we did it exactly how we wanted it. And our producer helped us with that. Chris, our producer, he's got a good ear, and he understands where we're coming from. So it helped to have a producer like Warren Wright to bring out all those kind of more unusual elements in the band, really, and go with them as opposed to just running away from them, you know.
And how would all these elements work in your live appearances? Are you just going to use samples, or...
No, I don't like using samples, so, I mean, we're going to have someone playing the mellotron and keyboards.
Okay.
At the shows, which is something we've never done before. But I think on this record, there's so much of it on there that we're going to need it. You know, we're going to need someone else to play. So these UK, we've got some UK shows coming up at the end of April. And it'll be the first time we've had mellotron and keyboard on stage. It's quite scary, as much as it's quite exciting.
And do you guys have any festivals in the talks or any plans for US tour for promoting this album?
We've got some festivals in Europe for the summer. I mean, as far as touring the States goes, it's a question people keep asking me, but at the minute we've got no definite plans. I mean, it's not something that we rule out. It's just that if we are going to tour America again, it has to be for the right, in the right situation,
yeah.
The right band.
So going back to the album, The Guessing Game, what is the concept behind it, lyrically?
There isn't necessarily a concept. I mean, I guess you need to see the whole of the artwork, really. I'm presuming you've only probably seen the front cover.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at it right now.
Yeah, well, it folds out into a massive painting. That's only one very small part of it.
Oh, okay.
And it folds out into a giant painting, and inside the painting is a massive question mark. And inside that question mark is the evolution, you know, from childhood through to, well, not necessarily childhood, it's the evolution of man, really. And the guessing game is basically, you know, people's questioning of their own existence, I suppose it's related to that. You know, the whole concept of, or the whole notion of people not knowing who they are and why they're here, where they came from, what's their purpose, and where do they go after they die, and all this kind of stuff. And the length of that uncertainty will drive people to go, you know, to prove their kind of, you know, to prove the purpose of their existence on this earth, whether it's through, like, religious fanaticism or quest for power or, you know, materialistic wealth and extremity. Basically, it's like we don't know where we go after this life, in reality. So people are constantly playing a guessing game about the afterlife. You know? So it's the guessing game of life.
Yeah. And what about some other songs? I'm actually seeing some pretty interesting titles like Cats, Incense, Candles, and Wine. What does that mean to you?
Well, it's literally one evening I sat down with a incense burning and a glass of wine. A joint, sat on the balcony of my flat back in Coventry, and wrote a song about the experience. Quite simple, really. I mean, people pick up on songs like that and think they're kind of weird, but I don't think they're weird. I think it's just like a night that I had sitting with a cat next to me smoking a joint and looking out at the sky.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now that you put it that way, yeah, it sounds more normal.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, people seem to, I don't know, people say stuff about songs like that, and it's like, how can you have a really heavy song and have that one after it? It's like, well, why not? You know, we grew up listening to bands like Sabbath and stuff. They have, like, acoustic instrumentals and mellow songs like Solitude and stuff before they go into real heavy. That's where we come from. You know?
And why did you guys decide to release two discs instead of, you know, making one album and then an EP later or something like that?
I think EPs are kind of redundant now. I mean, we always used to enjoy doing EPs in between records, but I think this album is kind of shows more of that kind of eccentric side of the band in one album as opposed to the need to release an EP. We didn't really want to lose six tracks off the album to make it a single album, really, because we were happy with all the material on there. We thought, you know, we haven't done a record for 5 years, so for the fans of ours and the people that dig what we're about, it's just give them something a little bit extra, you know. And we wanted the album to be double after it was recorded. It wasn't our intention for it to be double from the start. It's just that we recorded so much stuff that we didn't really want to lose half of it. And we didn't really feel that they were bonus tracks or EP tracks. We felt they were significant to the record. So, you know, we wanted the record presented as a double album in the kind of traditional sense. So it's an album of two parts, really.
Yeah. And I mean, like we previously talked, the band's been together for 20 years, give or take. Now, how do you, why do you think that the band has to, I mean, it's the sound has evolved, but it sounds more like a natural progression than just like drastic change, like many of the bands that were started around the same time you guys started.
You mean what's the key to us still being around?
Yeah, still being around and with the actual similar sound that you had, that you started with.
You know, a lot of people would say we've changed radically since our first album. I suppose in many respects we have, but we're not the same people as we were. I mean, 20 years is a long time, you know. Individual people change as much as, you know, you see more things in life, you experience more things in life, and you discover new types of music too that are interesting for you. So we've tried. Tried our best to kind of not hold back on being inspired by things that we see or hear, and I think that one of the main reasons we've managed to survive so long is that we've never had any great kind of plan or ambition. You know, our first and foremost ambition has been to make the music we make and be happy with it. Now, sometimes that hasn't happened, sometimes it has. I think with this record it definitely has. I think this record really, me, captures everything that the band is about in a solid way. I mean, I'm actually quite happy with every song on it. It's not, normally there's at least one or two songs where I'm not so happy about their inclusion. But you know, you're in a band with other people, and one person in the band might not like one song and one person might, so you have to kind of compromise a little bit. But I think this time we got it right, and I think we're all collectively very happy with it. So after 20 years to be at this situation where we're still making records, we're happy with it. It's a good thing for us to feel.
So, like you said, you guys are not having like set plans. So you don't really know if your guys are gonna continue for another 20 years or so.
It's hard to say. I mean, it's hard to imagine not being in the band. Because you know, I'm sure if we did split, I'm sure like a year or so later we'd get the itch again. Thing is, like Gaz, our guitarist, comes up with riffs all the time. The idea of him putting his guitar away for good, I don't think it's a good idea. I think whilst metal is in the state that it's in, bands like Cathedral need to be around, I think, in terms of like riffs and keeping that kind of old spirit alive. I mean, that sounds weird of me to say it, being in the band myself, but I think it's true.
And how was the change since you guys were with Eric Records for the majority of the career of the band, then you guys suddenly had to change? How was the Nuclear Blast, for example, treating you guys after?
Yeah, great, you know, they're totally cool with us. They don't give us any hassle or anything. They don't try and tell us what to do. They just let us do our thing, and they promote the band very well. Considering that as well, like we've already discussed, it's like 5 years since the last album they released. They haven't really been giving us a hard time about it. They've just let us take our time in writing it, making sure that we're happy with it. You know? So it's been a good experience for Nuclear Blast, yeah. Compared to, I won't say it.
Okay. Well, and how do you guys see that now with all the technology, the software, and everything? Do you think you can make music easier and more rich sounding than before?
Easier maybe, but I wouldn't say more rich sounding. I think more fake sounding.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I think as music technology goes further and further, rock and roll is going further and further into the distance, because you know, most modern production I hear these days, especially for metal, doesn't even sound like people playing instruments. It sounds like machines playing instruments. You know? And that to me is not really what it's about. I like there to feel like some humanity in the music, you know, that it's actually coming from the individuals that are playing it. I think a lot of the soul has been ripped out of music with technology such as Pro Tools and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we're not trying to sound like a band that recorded a record in 1971 at all. You know, we're very much aware that we're in this day and age. It's 2010 and we're here now, you know. It's just that we're inspired by a lot of music from that period, purely because there was less boundaries. Well, there was more freedom of expression, and also, you know, essentially, you know, we're whichever way you look at it, we're a rock and roll band. We're not too desperate just to fuck with it all the time. I think the basic thing is music will always be original if people allow themselves to put themselves into the music. You know, they let their individuality shine through. It'll always be original because there's only one you. You know what I mean? It's not like you might play a certain style, but as long as you put your own kind of soul into it, it's always going to sound different. It'll always sound new.
Yeah, exactly. And what about the side projects? One of our personal favorite projects that you've been involved was the Peace of the Lion. Is there any plans of coming, bringing that back up?
I doubt it. I think, you know, like Greg and Steve have got so much going on in their own personal lives and then music lives as well. I think that was pretty much a one-off project, but it was a blast doing it, for sure. I don't really have time to do musical projects. I mean, running the record label that I do and doing Cathedral, which like takes up enough of my time as it is, really. And I want to enjoy it, you know. The thing is with a Cathedral record, it takes so much kind of mental energy and thought to put into making one of these records, but I don't want to divide that time with something else at the moment. I mean, you know, if it does get to the stage where I've got a lot of spare time, then I'd be quite happy to do more project bands, but at the moment I can't really see that happening.
And if you were not doing Cathedral or music, what would you think your life would have turned out to be? What would you have done out of it?
Oh, Christ, well, that's not the thing. My whole life revolves around music, really, so probably end up in jail or something, I don't know. Who knows, man? I don't know. I mean, because I've never known a life without music, so it'd be hard to imagine one without it.
Okay, and out of all the bands that are coming out, and like we talked about, all the new bands are easily available, what do you think, which ones do you think are like the most notable ones, you can say?
I don't know. I really don't know. Give me some examples.
I don't know, I'm just talking about what do you listen to now that's modern bands, like...
Not much, I don't really listen to much modern stuff at all, to be honest with you. If I'm gonna, you know, because I'm being a record collector and stuff, being into very older stuff, I'm still discovering stuff from late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
It's not all that I listen to, but it's kind of something that I can still get excited about, finding bands that I've never heard before. I'm just going through a phase of that, really. I mean, I've still got a long way to go. I mean, I've got to move to European countries and South American countries soon. So that's that. It's music that's new to me, but it's not necessarily new music, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I still find digging out bands like that very exciting. I mean, my favourite band around at the moment are probably the bands I've got signed to my own label. That might sound stupid, but it's true. Bands like Astra, Gentleman Pistols, Electric Wizard, they're the kind of bands that I really dig, and they're the kind of bands that are on my label. So, you
know.
I'm not trying to self-promote the label.
Yeah, no. I mean, a lot of people do start labels because they want to have support bands they like, so...
Yeah, I mean, those are my favorite kind of bands. I like some of the bands on PC Records, well, labels like that.
And, well, just to close it off, do you think we're going to wait another 5 years for another Cathedral album, or...?
See, that's the guessing game, isn't it? I hope not. I mean, I think with this album, we've broken quite a few moulds within our own kind of caricatures of individuals in the band. I think hopefully we did, you know, move a bit forward with this one where we have done in the past. Hopefully it's a good indication of where we'll go next. I think it'd be easier to write another album, actually. I don't think it'll take 5 years, maybe one or two. You
know. Okay, and just to close it off, if you guys had unlimited budget for a live performance, how do you think you will take Cathedral experience to the people visually and with props and stuff?
Oh, that's a good question. I never thought about that. It's never been a reality, really. But of course, we'd like to have all our favourite kind of instruments involved, especially if we'd have 10 mellotrons, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
experience by itself.
Yeah.
So, is there anything else you want to add to the American listeners, readers, fans, and everybody that's going to hear this interview online?
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, it's been so long since we played the stage. It's been like 8 years or so since the last, I think it was 2002, could have been 2001, when we toured there with some male and strapping young lads. So it's been a long time since we played the stage. You know, it's never been that easy for us touring the stage, actually. So, but I hope one day we will be able to again, not too distant future. I'd just like to thank everyone who supported the people in America over the years, because, you know, we really do appreciate it, and we just hope you like the new record. Hopefully it's what Cathedral fans or Cathedral listeners would want to hear far down the line.